It's Hour of the Jason Rancher brought to you by our friends over at American Crawl Space and Pest Services. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
So apparently Federal Way is leading the way when it comes to officers using e-bikes, electronically assisted bicycles. Q13 reports the department believes they're the first in the region to try this idea out. They've had a bicycle unit, as many police departments across the country have had. They've had it for about 8 years. They call it their special operations unit. But back in November of last year, they decided, hey, let's try the e-bikes out. Because nothing is scarier than a cop pedaling his or her way towards you on a bike.
At a maximum of 20 miles an hour.
You're driving away, but they're on your tail, hot on your tail, 14 blocks behind you.
Maybe even get to 22 if I'm going downhill.
But you fell.
I fell, yeah. That might be a concern.
But you're not properly trained.
No, I'm sure they've done a little bit of training more than I have.
The e-bike use is being credited to one particular officer, Ben Sang, who is a fan of them. He rides them on his own. So he was all like, hey, department, why not try this? And they say it's been successful. In fact, they say on the second day of the pilot program, an officer on an e-bike helped catch a felon fleeing from a patrol car. Here's Officer Sang talking to Q13.
He ran off again, but the electric bicycle officer was able to keep up with him and apprehend him, and he didn't even know that there was a bike officer behind him the whole time.
Okay, I have many questions. He fleed from a patrol car. The patrol car couldn't keep up with him. That's the language that was used.
He ran off again, but the electric bicycle officer was able to keep up with him.
So implying the patrol car couldn't keep up with the dude who was running? I think I know what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's just saying it incorrectly, right? He doesn't mean can't keep up with. I'm assuming he means because he's on foot, he's able to get into places a car cannot.
That was the car. I'm pretty sure, right? It's like on a trail or something.
Okay.
Like that, yeah.
And first of all, I've seen Die Hard 3. Mm-hmm. Dude just goes through parks in his car. Why can't our officers do that?
Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Remember, they go into the big park in New York that I always forget.
Central Park?
Central Park, thank you, because it's in the center of the city.
Yes. They've got wider lanes.
Bourne Identity, they're driving on side. Every cop movie and every CIA movie and every FBI movie, they all drive on, and usually it's on a block with cafes set up and like tables and stuff. No one dies. And so Federal Way officers should do the same
thing. They jump out of the way
at
just
the last
in time.
Second. And it's so weird because
and they run right through the table and the bread goes flying.
Yeah, oh my God, all the time. And by the way, never in any of these movies is there like an old person who can't exactly jump out of the way. It always happens to be like
or the,
a 27-year-old blonde with long hair.
A stroller gets just barely pushed out of the way.
But then they stop at the very last minute and the kid never gets hit. The stroller.
No,
And then the mom goes, oh my God, I almost left my kid. So I'm just saying we don't necessarily need e-bikes. If they want to do it, fine. I don't care. I mean, there are clearly benefits to officers who are on bikes depending on the type of patrolling that they're doing, right? I mean, you can go down blocks that cars can't.
Huh?
You can go on sidewalks.
With your bikes, yeah.
Yeah, just as a norm, like not just chasing anybody.
You're actually not supposed to take the e-bikes onto sidewalks.
Yeah, the cops can do what they want.
Okay.
Do they have little sirens?
No.
That's what bicycle cops need, little sirens. And little bells.
They've
like, but bells, like,
bells.
But I want
got
a
bells
siren.
Already.
I want a siren bell. Like that.
Well, it should be different than a car siren because that could confuse people.
Or just the ice cream music?
Yes.
Oh, but then kids are going to be chasing them down the street and they're trying to go after a bad guy who just shot
that.
Up someone.
Better
and there's
for
like
the
kids behind it.
I guess it's not better for the community that the kids are chasing down a cop and then they're really disappointed to not get ice cream.
Well, the cop has to give out ice cream.
Yes. I want them to play the song and they have to have ice cream too.
The only downside about these bikes, and again, I'm assuming they're not being deployed this way. You've seen many departments, especially Seattle and Bellevue, use traditional bikes as a means to form a wandering barrier during protests. And I have to assume you can't really do that with e-bikes because they're so heavy.
They're a little bit heavier, but not
They're not that much heavier?
I think you could still form a barrier with them.
You can, but I'm just saying you can't move it as quickly. You can't be as agile. And you certainly can't. sometimes cops will use their bikes almost as weapons to push people back who are getting a little bit too close. I don't know if you can do that with an e-bike
might
the same way.
Yeah, be a
little bit
harder.
So, you know,
I don't know if there's that many high-profile protests going on in Federal Way, though. So
not yet.
Yeah, that's true. Not yet.
They're coming, man.
On their way.
Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Stuck in traffic.
It's kind of. An Indiana man was arrested and charged with DUI. We wouldn't normally talk about a story like that till we found out the fact that he was driving a lawnmower while drunk. His name is Barry Ridge, 46 years old, out of Franklin, Indiana. The Indianapolis Star reports the Franklin Police Department received a complaint early Saturday evening from someone upset that Ridge drove onto their yard and started mowing their grass. Why would that upset you? That's like, you don't got to get up early tomorrow to mow the lawn. I just did you a solid. I'm assuming, though, he didn't mow all of the lawn because he was drunk, so he probably just cut through it. But still, that's one less row that you need to do on your own. I think he should be given a medal. Give him a medal.
Was it a neighbor dispute, probably? Like, cut your darn grass or I'm going to do it for you.
No, he was just he was sloshed.
I think it was just,
he was just drunk.
Yeah, just enjoyed riding around.
So then he got onto the road. And officers eventually caught up with him because a lawnmower goes like 3.5 miles per hour.
They were actually on e-bikes.
The e-bike pulled them over. And he failed a breathalyzer test after his eyes appeared glassy, and so they had reason to test him. So the legal limit in Indiana is much like almost everywhere else is 0.08. He was 0.189% drunk. Like, that was his blood alcohol level. The kicker is, and I don't know if this will surprise anybody, not the first time he's been pulled over for DUI on a lawnmower. He was arrested in a Kroger parking lot for operating the mower while intoxicated and causing a disturbance. This happened less than a month ago. In fact, what was the date on Saturday? It was the 5th. So he did it on April 8th. Almost. Now, he couldn't even go a full month.
Once a month doing my drunk lawn mowing.
His Husky lawn tractor was impounded. Could you?
They put a boot on it.
I look at this, and yes, I understand that people can, in fact, get hurt. Right?
You can. Yes.
But because of how loud a lawnmower is and how slow it goes, I feel like the danger is mitigated by the actual lawnmower. And so you can jump. Like, he's not going down a crowded sidewalk with cafes knocking all the stuff down, like he'll just nudge the little table over to the side with his lawnmower. So unless, by the way, the Husky lawn tractor is one of those farming style big ones, right? In my head,
it's
just
a
little
combine. Yeah, it's like a riding lawnmower.
It's I don't know what Husky sounds big. That's all I'm saying. See. No, don't Google it. I would prefer not to know. In my head, it's just a normal little lawnmower, like you saw on King of the Hill.
Does he ride on his?
I haven't seen a tiny one. That was one episode, and they got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's a normal one like that.
Can't we give this guy a pass? No one got hurt. He did a solid to his neighbor.
It's gonna hurt someone eventually, though. And
is he though?
If you're decriminalized drunk lawnmower riding, then the street is just filled with these drunken lawnmower men. And that
causes
problems.
That sounds like a fun time.
Am I wrong?
Scooter gangs and
lawnmower gangs in Indiana.
Drunken lawnmower gangs.
I love this idea.
I say one parade a year in town, like through downtown. Anyone who wants to
downtown. No, let's do it in like Puyallup.
Oh, I didn't mean. I'm talking about Indiana.
Oh, in Indiana. Okay.
Everyone gets as drunk as they want, and then they ride their lawnmowers through the middle of town, and that's their one outlet a year they get to do it.
Bumper lawnmower.
If one of these things hits you, the blades can't injure you, right? Or maybe just your feet.
I mean, if you get...
Send me a text, by the way, if you know any...
Because your feet...
All three of us
underneath.
Know nothing about lawn mowing. 1-800-465-8770. That's a NumBetter tax resolution hotline. 1-800-465-8770. If you can add some context to this conversation... Because your feet can then get
I think
injured?
So.
I feel like you could take the blade off before the lawnmowers.
Yeah. Take the blades out and then drunk as you want. And then just like barriers that they have at marathons where it's like you can't get really.
I'm not wrong though, right? They don't go that fast.
I don't think so. I mean,
5 miles an hour, maybe?
Maybe. Let's see how fast this one will go.
Yeah, add that to your long list of things you've got to research for us.
Wait, there are YouTube videos, how to make a riding lawnmower fast, all caps.
Okay, but that implies they're slow to begin with.
Yes.
So you got to soup it up because you watch Fast and Furious a couple too many times.
And Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Okay, my reference was at least relevant. Fast and Furious. You're going back to Home Improvement.
But that's the one that he would always soup up his lawnmowers.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You're like four shows behind for Tim Allen that you're making references to.
What does he do on Last Man Standing? I haven't watched.
It's coming back on Fox. Did you hear that? The show's coming back, apparently. Maybe we'll get into that later on. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. Now, welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. We'll get to the Spotify segment in a bit. First, I want to talk about it's a frivolous lawsuit. And these are the types that just drive me nuts. Because there's a dude who's suing police officers plus a lifeguard in the state of Virginia after they pulled him out of a pool that he was drowning in. The argument, however, is he says he's suing because he has more than $100,000 in medical bills following the rescue. Now, the guy's name, and I apologize, I'm not going to be able to pronounce it correctly, Mateusz Fidzielkowski. He's Polish. I don't know how to say his name. He was serving as an assistant manager at this pool complex in Fairfax, Virginia. And he's bipolar, and he was having a bipolar episode while he was in the pool, which led him to almost drown. He claims, however, that they saw him drowning, and they let him stay underwater for up to 2 minutes and didn't actually help. Now, the cops are saying, whoa, 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 let's give you some context to that. He was having this bipolar episode where he was getting very violent. And if we jumped in right when we saw him and how he was acting, we ran the risk of being pulled under ourselves. And we didn't want to be pulled under and to be drowning victims ourselves. And they didn't arrive while he was drowning. That's the other thing. So he had this bipolar episode while he was in the pool. Beforehand, apparently he was yelling at people and blowing his whistle. Don't give whistles to anybody anymore. Just blowing his whistle at people. So cops were brought in, and they actually called in an officer who spoke Polish to try to communicate with this guy. But he kept shouting, "I am the lifeguard," because he was having a little bit of a mental breakdown. And because he was acting erratically but not yet drowning, they didn't want to send anyone in. That makes total sense. But then he goes into the deep end of the pool, and apparently, according to the report, he tried to drown himself. He was trying to kill himself. He was holding on to the vents underwater, which kept him underwater. And they didn't realize what he was doing right in the moment. And then once they realized it, they jumped in and they helped him. And so now this guy has the audacity to sue them for $100,000. So I don't understand. Next time they're supposed to put their own life on the line needlessly while you're causing this big scene, just leave him. Next time, just let him drown. How about that? And then, of course, it would be outrage. Oh, you didn't do your... The cops, whether we're talking about Seattle or Tacoma or Bellevue or, in this case, Fairfax, Virginia, they're always in a lose-lose situation. This is a frivolous lawsuit. This is a shameful lawsuit. I hope it goes nowhere. I hope it gets tossed. I also hope you send me a text message at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. If you text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, I'll go ahead and send you a link to my first Daily Wire report for them. That's Ben Shapiro's website. It's on the Amazon head text, which we'll tackle later on the show. Text RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. Asphalt protests in Maple Valley, squatters in Aberdeen. It's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Tulalip Resort Casino.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
So I don't know about you, but I'm getting sick and tired of the media being so hyper-focused on the city of Seattle that they end up ignoring all the important and interesting and, yes, sometimes quirky stories happening all across the region. So at 7:30 weekday mornings right here on the Jason Rand Show, we do something called the Big Local, thanks to our friends over at Tulalip Resort Casino. They allow us to talk about you and the communities you live in and let us ignore the city of Seattle. And we start this morning in Maple Valley, where a handful of folks are protesting the creation of an asphalt plant. And now it seems like they have the support of Republican King County Councilmember Reagan Dunn, because he successfully got the plan to be put on hold for 6 months. But let's be clear. These people seem nuts. Tamara Waddell is one of the most vocal protesters of the proposed plant. Here she is talking with King 5.
This is not a place for an asphalt plant. We love our neighborhood and we don't want it messed up with an asphalt plant.
This guy's name is not real, right? Dutch Dutchman? There's no way that that's
I'm
real.
Not sure if he it seems like he fooled King 5 into believing that the fake name he made up is
You know
real.
What his middle name is? McDutchface. Here's Dutch Dutchman. Say they didn't even see this whole plant coming.
The intention was to allow a landscaping material processing center, not an asphalt company.
So they're concerned with land value, because the argument is this asphalt plant going up will then bring their own property values down. They're concerned with the quality of air. They're concerned with traffic coming in and out of this particular plant. They think that it's going to lead to more trucks on the roads, which is probably true. And they say they're concerned about the health of the Cedar River, which is real close. And it's an important salmon habitat. And, you know, we go out of our way to talk about salmon all the time in Western Washington. But here's the deal. The asphalt that would be created at this plant, it's sustainable. It's non-toxic. It's actually used to line salmon fisheries in Washington State. Their asphalt is actually used to line drinking reservoirs in Washington State. So it's not a toxic material. The area that we're talking about here is already zoned for industrial use. It brings jobs to the area, which is incredibly important. And by the way, this is an asphalt company that's family owned and locally operated. So I don't know why we're getting in the way, other than to say, I don't like it. Other than to say you've got a small group. And I'm talking about a small group. There was how many protests were there? Which, by the way, ironically standing not on an asphalt sidewalk, but on a dirt road, which the asphalt would then be used to give them a safe sidewalk. Maybe 10, maybe a dozen.
10 to 20, yeah.
There was definitely not 20. Like I tried to count as many as I could, and it just in the shot, there was like 8. So I'm going to assume there's probably like 4 or 5 more behind them. There just were not that many people there. These are environmentalist activists, extremists maybe, who are taking this position. It's not about the... Do you think that they'd be okay with the other... What did he say that they wanted to have there?
The intention was to allow a landscaping material...
Do you think a landscaping material processing plant would get their approval? No, they just don't want it there. Wouldn't a landscaping processing facility also bring down the value of the land? Wouldn't it also lead to more trucks in the region, right? I just don't buy this. And Jim Chan, he heads the Permitting and Environmental Review Board for King County. He says everything's going to be fine. Everyone just relax.
And we saw that our existing codes are so rigorous at the local level, at the state level, and at the federal level that it would cover the impacts from a development such as an asphalt plant. We do take their concerns seriously, like we do with any other development. Our charge for our department is responsible development.
Now, look, build the stupid thing. They're going to push it 6 months. There's some conflict, according to Reagan Dunn, who argues that the person who's lobbying on behalf of the asphalt company is tied to King County Executive Dow Constantine, former staff member there. Oh, okay, but what is that? Did they break any rules? Are they getting any special treatment? It doesn't seem so if this is already zoned for that kind of plant. We have to stop this overreaction, because we think it's going to be an eyesore. At some point, you do have to push aside some of your concerns if it's for the better of the community. Now, if it's not for the betterment of the community, if you have a legitimate concern with it, I'm okay by saying not in my backyard. And I certainly would if this was not an area that was already zoned for this kind of stuff. If this was primarily an area of just homes, right, or apartment complexes or just businesses, yeah, we're not going to put an asphalt plant right next to a whole bunch of restaurants and high-end apartment buildings. That doesn't make sense. But this is a particular area of Maple Valley where it does make sense, and it is kind of off the beaten path. So we got to put them somewhere. Let's put them here. It makes sense to me. I'd love to hear your take on this. 1-800-465-8770. We did get a text that said, I'd much rather be Dutchman than the guy I graduated with named Howard Howard.
Yeah, please send us, like, funny names of people you know. I think that's
photo, but take it from, like, photograph it from your yearbook so I know it's real.
That'd be helpful. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Like, dude's name Howie Howard.
I don't know if people are going to... They're in their cars. They're not going to be able to get to the yearbooks.
You don't have to do it right this second. Yeah, later. You can do it a little bit later. Okay. You can email us at KTTH.com too, or Facebook.com/Jason Rancho. Meanwhile, a property owner out in Aberdeen is having a hard time booting 100 squatters from his property. They've been there for years. The problem has gotten out of control. He's been wanting them gone. Mike Lang, talking to Como TV, has in the past tried to get them to leave. And it's just at this point, it's out of control.
The last 3 or 4 years... it's just been to where it evolved out of control.
Sam Hutchison is a friend of Lang's. He says it isn't just about the land here. This is about something so much more.
This doesn't just affect Mr. Lang. These people that are on drugs affect the jobs, the establishments, the personal residence.
The police were called several years ago, according to Como. They forced everyone to leave, but unfortunately, they just came back. Because that's generally what happens in situations like this. And the police are saying, and they're making this case, that Lang, as the owner of the property, didn't do anything to keep them out. He didn't build any fencing, for example. He didn't post any criminal trespassing signs or notices, which you have to do if you want the police to get involved in any meaningful way. And so it's not considered criminal trespassing at this point, which seems squatters' rights is ridiculous. I thought we addressed this in Washington State. Didn't Hans Ziegler, the state representative or the senator, didn't he handle this last year or 2 years ago where they made it so that it can be a little bit easier and at least more expedited in the state of Washington to go after squatters? This whole idea that you have to do something that you have to spend thousands of dollars building a fence, for example, to keep people off of property you own, rather than simply say, here is the proof that I own this land. I do not want these people on my land. Please remove them. That's not enough. We had it here at the studio across the street from us before this new complex was being built. We had a squatter's home and people just broke into the house. It was abandoned and they were doing drugs there. You went in, you would see what looked like thousands of needles on the ground. Like, it took them a while once they actually figured out the situation to knock it down because they had to clean it because of the hazardous material on the ground. We saw people going in there with backpacks that were empty and then filled with stuff, presumably drugs, afterwards. And they were allowed to go in there because there wasn't like a criminal trespass sign up. And apparently the developer didn't do enough to lock the doors. Like, you lock the doors, they just break into a window. Well, you didn't do enough to lock the window. Okay, well, then we put boards over the window. Then they would take the boards down and cut. Like, it's ridiculous. This is not your land. You do not own this property. You have absolutely no right to be on that property. Squatters' rights? Squatters have no rights when it comes to property value. Sorry, you should have absolutely no right. When you work your tail off and purchase property, whether it's a home, whether it's an apartment or a condo, or whether it's just a nice piece of land with green grass, you have no right to be there. At least you shouldn't have a right to be there. Someone wants you off their property, they want you off their property. Oh, but they're homeless. They have nowhere else to go. I'm sorry, but that's not the individual homeowner's problem. That's a city problem. That's a county problem. That's a state problem. That's a regional problem. Doesn't mean that because you're homeless, you get to ruin other people's property. Eric Larson, the mayor of Aberdeen, talking to Como, says he wants to make sure the squatters' considerations are taken into account.
And somewhere in there is going to need to be support for the individuals that are currently on the property.
Okay, well, Mayor Larson, what are you doing then? If that's your concern, what are you doing? Because right now you seem to have no considerations for their situation because they're living out on a random piece of land. Here's one of the individuals, William Mason. He currently lives in the camp.
Hold on to each other and hope for the best, you know. Maybe support if we can get it, you know, if there's any kind of funding. Hard, very hard.
It's also hard for communities dealing with this. It's also hard for people who want to go for walks but can't in their neighborhood out of fear that the random person who's squatting in a piece of land across the street from them, they don't know who they are, they don't know what they're capable of, they don't know why they're homeless. It's also hard on that person who wants to just feel comfortable going for a walk with their kid or their dog. It's also hard for the people who want to purchase a home and then realize, maybe I don't want to live here. Maybe it's hard for the people who want to sell their home, their property, but realize that this out-of-control homelessness population that no one is doing anything meaningful with, at least according to a city perspective, it's also hard on them trying to sell that piece of property and make some money. It's also hard on them. It's hard on everybody, not just the people who are living out on the streets. And for the longest time, we've not really been talking about that. We've not been talking about the impact that the homeless have on these individual communities. Finally, it seems like that conversation is happening with some meaning. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. Because you have in Washington State a lot of crazy people in positions of power who are making these decisions, but at least it's a start. At least you guys are starting to speak up. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. Thank you for the text that says, "Preach it, Jason. I'm with you 100%. Yeah, obviously. I'm a talk show host. I know everything. Jacob just gave me a look saying, "Yeah, you do know everything. I'm proud to be associated with you." Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show. Can we talk about a weird thing that happened over at the Seattle PI? It's funny because I can't remember. Did we talk about Joel Connolly on this show, the After Show podcast, where at some point the Seattle PI was once a well-regarded newspaper, then it went away and became a website, and then over time the website just became a whole bunch of clickbait stories, and the only real content provider there was Joel Connolly, who has just been writing a column for, I double-checked this because I wanted to find out how long he's been there. 111 years.
That's not true.
It's 111 years he's been writing for the Seattle PI. And he published something yesterday that had to be taken down because of how inappropriate it was. And it's weird because after it was already published, and maybe they don't necessarily look at the article before it goes up, or they kind of had second thoughts. They put up a notice that essentially said, "We took this down because it didn't meet our editorial standards." Why did the story not meet editorial standards? Because it was a puff piece citing Ed Murray and how he would tackle homelessness in the Seattle area. In fact, here's the title, Connolly, colon, Ed Murray, head tax would let Fed state off hook on homelessness. And in the story, he acknowledges that he did the interview and Ed Murray, quote, asked to be limited to homelessness and drug abuse, not the decades old molestation allegations that drove him from office. And Connolly, because he wrote the article and did the interview, agreed to those terms, which, granted, a columnist is not necessarily a journalist. Right. They live in the same world as actual reporters, and the rules are a little bit different. But that's bizarre to me that he would allow that to happen. But the whole story ends up giving kudos to a dude who's accused of child molestation. He's currently being sued. There was a second lawsuit that was started and announced last week or earlier in this week. One of the lines, because you went through the story, I haven't read the whole thing yet because it's rather lengthy. This is a direct quote from the article. "Such are thoughts and warnings," after quoting Ed Murray, "such are thoughts and warnings from a veteran legislative dealmaker and the mayor who brought all sides together in hammering out the city's phased-in $15 an hour minimum wage." It's just, it reads like it's laudatory of a child molester or an alleged child molester.
Like someone who maybe doesn't believe the allegations. Like, I don't know where he's coming from with the way he talks about Ed Murray in this piece. It's just really surreal.
Yeah, the way that he just quickly at the beginning, because he wants to be on the up and up, because he knows that people are going to wonder, well, you did an interview with him on this, but you didn't talk about the fact that he's accused of molesting children and it drove him from office. So he just put it out there as a means to acknowledge it. But yeah, I kind of got the idea that he must not believe the allegations, or at least not care enough to criticize Murray. Murray was in office as homelessness got worse. So it's not even like you can point to him and say, this is how you do it. No, it's not. We don't have a mayor of Seattle that you can point to and say, this is how you do it.
He clearly wants you to look at, like, he's trying to explain why he talked to Murray. It's like, oh, he's this competent politician where it's like he got some stuff done and that's why we should listen to him on this issue. But that's not how anyone looks at Ed Murray anymore. That's not how we really talk about it, particularly in the Me Too moment, about these men, and usually after they've been disgraced in this way. That's just strange.
Quote, Murray wants his successor as Seattle mayor to be given the latitude to lead, to seek allies, and put somebody behind Seattle's big business on the spot. Ed Murray is not a man to muse, but looking at the climate in Seattle and beyond, he observed, from Brexit to Trump, we are living in the age of rage. We're also living in the age of giving credence and laudations to men who are accused of molesting children.
I mean, I guess I give credit.
He looks as like a hero in this. He looks as the sage veteran who, the soothsayer, mm-hmm. who knows all about the city of Seattle and inner politics and the inner workings of the effort to go after homelessness. When he's a guy who left office as a disgrace, he was forced from office.
I mean, Seattle PI clearly knows that they did something wrong. They took the entire thing down.
But why'd they put it up and tweet about it? They tweeted about it, mm-hmm. and then they deleted the tweet, which is how I first saw this story. Someone retweeted and said something along the lines of, this seems rather weird and inappropriate. And I clicked on it. I was like, oh, I wonder what they did. And it was deleted.
Yeah.
And then they have this warning now on the Joel Connolly column that says we took it down. Who was the editor who approved this?
Right.
And I'm not even taking the position that it shouldn't be printed. It just it's a weird tone. And it was weird from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So if that's the problem with the story and you don't stand behind it, then why did it go up in the first place? I'm okay if you want to go to Ed Murray and get his take on this. You know, that's on you if that's what you want to do.
Write about it differently. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. You just approach it certainly in a different way, not in a way that kind of dismisses the seriousness of the allegations against him and puts him in a light that makes him look like a hero.
Yeah, you definitely have to interrogate why you care about his opinion at all. And I guess that's what he's trying to accomplish, but yeah, it's just right.
He doesn't. He doesn't address why he's going to Ed Murray at all and is willing to dismiss the allegations against him. He just acknowledges that they're allegations and we agree not to talk about it.
I'm trying to figure out, is this something Joel Connolly has done in the past? I know, he hasn't been around for 100 years, but he's been around for a long time.
111 years. Yeah. Get it right, man. So,
like, I'm trying to, because he's at least, in some circles, I presume, respected. It's just really strange.
Is he?
I mean, he's just...
I think he's just there.
Okay.
You know what? And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you're just kind of there. You're not what you once were as a columnist in this area. And people are like, oh, it's kind of adorable. He's still writing. I wonder if he's still using a typewriter. Like, that's the kind of... He's on Twitter because he shamed me on something I said once in an article that he had a misspelling in. And so I gave him a hard time for that. And then he trolled me back. It was kind of funny. I don't think he has any moral high ground anymore to go after anybody after this. This is a bad take. This is a bad column. It's a Jason Rant show.